1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, hon. We'll have some fun.
Oh, yeah. How does that sound on a Friday morning, huh? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. That was Bill Haley and the Comets. He was the guy that Elvis Presley used to listen to before he became great. Bill Haley. I am Paul Molloy, indeed, and along with Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us here on Freedom Works on this overcast Friday morning in Tampa, where we are desperately hoping for rain, most of us. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 Eastern time in the morning. So we hope you set your whatever, your inner calendars to listen to us. In a few minutes, Heather Kays will join us. She is a national education expert. We're going to talk about the latest in the fight to educate our kids in America, including an effort by charter school teachers in Washington to unionize. Is that good? We'll find out. And the barber poll will be with us again. The master barber responding to Donald Trump's decision to exit that Paris climate treaty. Now, is that a good or a bad decision by him for America's environmental health? We'll talk with the master barber about that. And campus quackery is back. We plan to travel in our campus quackery rounds to North Carolina, Connecticut, Washington, and California. Stay tuned for that. And finally, how Venezuela is a perfect example of what socialism will do to a country. I think you're going to be interested. And finally, in this jam-packed show, in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 states that graduates ditch after getting their diplomas. They say, sayonara, thanks for the diploma. You got to hear this. By the way, we are sponsored in part here at Freedom Works by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay for you guys. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580 in Clearwater, just west of the Countryside Mall. Tuesday through Friday, they're open 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday 8:30 to 2 p.m. And also, please listen to us on FM if you have an FM speaker around, 106.1 in Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater, 104.3 in Dade City. And you can always go to the website, find out more about us, and listen to any show anytime, live or on tape, ourfreedomworks.com. All right. Well, the Trump administration has now knocked on the door of the Supreme Court. They are asking them to let the revised travel ban take effect. They have filed two emergency applications with the Supreme Nine, seeking to block two lower court rulings that stop Trump from enacting the travel ban. In the filing, Trump argues, actually the Justice Department says, that the appeals court in Richmond, Virginia, made several mistakes in ruling against the ban. They say the ban is lawful. The Justice Department says it's confident Trump's executive order well within his lawful authority to keep the nation safe and protect our communities from terrorism. I think he will win in the Supreme Court. The appeals courts that have turned down Trump on the travel ban are literally trying to get inside his head. He has every right to temporarily ban travel from any country. Did you know that? It's clearly shown in what the president's allowed to do. So I think this may even be a 9-0 vote, although I doubt that all the liberals will band together and see it that way. Could be 6-3, though. I'm kind of interested, and I wonder how quickly they'll get this done. Now, the order barred entry for people from 6 countries. Now, they happen to have Muslim majorities. They included Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Would you welcome a group of people from any of those countries into your house if you didn't know who they were? I'm not sure that I would, to be honest with you. Rights groups have been fighting the ban, saying the justices should not allow the travel and refugee bans to take effect. Okay. Well, I think he's going to win. Donald Trump will win in this one. You know, with Neil Gorsuch on the court, I think that they've got clearly, the conservative majority. And it's pretty much going to probably come down to that, although I think we might get, you know who might vote for it, believe it or not, along with Trump, is Sonia Sotomayor. We'll see about it. Anyway, you might have seen that Donald Trump took to the Rose Garden yesterday to talk a little bit about his decision to nix the climate pact, that Paris Climate Accord. We are going to exit it. He says the accord is very unfair at the highest level to the United States. Now, he pretty much told us before he was elected that he thought the climate agreement was not fair. And he's willing, apparently, to renegotiate a new accord. You know, it would have never passed in Congress. It was one of these things that Obama went over there and just signed off on it. It didn't really have any teeth to begin with. So until, you know, you get the Senate involved in signing off on treaties, they're not going to be much that, you know, it's going to be easy to get in and easy to get out. I mean, the next president can come by and say, you know what, I say we go back and we rejoin that climate accord. But at least for the next several years, we ain't going to be in it. And I thought that Trump actually made a pretty good case when he was out there talking about the fact that we pour millions, trillions maybe over the years into these things where other countries take our money because, you know, we give third world countries money supposedly to go and help their climate. Do you think they spend it on their climate? They do not. They do not. And apparently India and China get a free pass for the next several years. They can do anything they want. What the heck is going on with that kind of an agreement? We may talk about that a little bit more with the Master Barber, but right now we're going to take our break. And when we come back, the lovely and talented Heather Case.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
There's only one place on the radio where golfers like you can turn for the best tips, interviews, product reviews, local tournaments, and everything golf talk. The Golf Show Guys.
Hey, join the Golf Show Guys every Wednesday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's not just funny, it's informative, it's celebrities, and it's a lot of applause. It's the Golf Show Guys, Wednesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tantalk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tantalk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back on a Friday morning, and per usual, Heather Case joins us. Heather is an education expert, really. She's an education reporter and policy expert on schooling. She has been published all over the place, including USA Today, The Hill, the Associated Press, and many more. And Heather, we've got some very interesting stories to talk about. And in fact, we start here in our home state of Florida. And Miami Herald apparently doing this story. What are Floridians now telling Rick Scott, the governor, about this schools bill that he is considering? Tell us about this.
Well, this is the large education policy that is being considered that includes the Schools of Hope, which would bring charter schools into areas where traditional public schools have been failing. It does many other things, but we've been tracking this story pretty closely, and you last week said that you knew that there were a lot of people in Florida who clearly were not the ones who were sending the emails or making the phone calls or paying attention to the story.
Yeah, and I think you agree.
In favor of something. I do agree.
Yeah.
And the reason I want to talk about this story is because we are both right. The numbers have tipped slightly in favor of the number of people reaching out saying that they want Rick Scott to approve.
Okay, so that must mean there was a little bit of a surge. Maybe there was more PR by the advocates.
There was.
Advocates, okay.
Yeah.
Good news, huh?
It is. He's gotten 11,800 messages in support as compared to 10,900 messages against.
That's
the
wonderful.
Legislation.
Yeah, and you know, charter schools, and I think you and I have been talking more about charter schools now than we have maybe any of the other things. Sometimes we talk about homeschooling or vouchers, but charter schools have certainly been on the radar. All over the place. But it seems like because there is a connection, in fact, I'll ask you to explain, what is the difference between, say, a public school, a private school, and a charter school for listeners? What would you say are the differences?
Okay, so a traditional public school is a neighborhood school, brick and mortar, paid for by taxpayers.
Taxpayer supported.
There are great ones and there are awful ones. There are a lot of awful ones. Charter schools are also public schools. Not a lot of people realize that.
They're public schools like a regular public school, right?
Yes, funded by taxpayers. However, they have somewhat more flexibility as far as the way that they govern themselves. There is usually an independent board that is in charge of what they're doing. Lots of them are nonprofit. Lots of them are specialized and target, you know, specific types of students, students with autism, students who excel or are interested in a certain subject and things like that. The idea of charters is to bring something that traditional public schools aren't bringing to the table.
And they could be run by a private company, right? In fact, they are generally run. Yeah. They're not run like, for instance, by the state. But the state will or the district is allowing that private company to run it, but they are subject to what? To certain public school rules?
Well, they're public schools, so of course they're going to be subject to rules.
All the public school rules, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the rules are looser, mm-hmm. which is something that teachers unions love to hammer away at, that they have to live up to standards that are unfair. However, the idea that charter schools are somehow allowed to get away with murder is just...
Yeah, they go way overboard. It threatens them. They don't have the control. There is some, you know, it's sort of a quasi, It's a combination of a private and public kind of get-together. And then we have the private schools, which, of course, are totally on their own. They're not funded by the government. The taxpayers don't pay for them. This is the, and they've been around forever. I mean, Catholic schools coming to mind right away. You know, it's funny. Always when I was growing up, and I'm not kidding you, I could go anywhere, and I was in different cities. My dad was a newspaper guy, so we were all over. And the private school, the Catholic private schools, were always educating the kids better than the comparable neighborhood public school. I mean, I could see it back then. And it seems like it's always been that way. So I always wondered, when I was young, why is it, you know, that as a, at a Catholic school, I'm getting a better education than these kids in public school? I could see it because when I went into high school, I could see that I was way ahead of these other kids that had been. I went into a public high school. They were coming from a public grade school. I was not. And, you know, the you could see it. So it's always been that way. It's been very interesting. I don't know why I'm going off like that, but I find that to be. You can wake up now.
I wanted to go to a Catholic high school myself. I tested in the 90th percentile for the school, but my family was extremely poor and couldn't afford to send me. So
yeah, exactly. And a lot of, I was very fortunate because you have to pay taxes as a parent for public schools, even if you're going to pay a separate fee for the kids in the, you know, which of course is unfair, but that's the way. Anyway, very interesting. Do you think you any sense of what Rick Scott might do?
I have no idea. There is so much in that policy that he could decide to veto it for something completely not connected to charter schools. And I don't think anybody's really going to know what he does until he makes a decision. Because there's been a lot of speculation, but he hasn't come out and said anything that he's leaning one way or the other, as far as I know.
Yeah, and I guess they don't have a line item veto, do they? Where he could just line out certain things, you know?
I don't believe so,
no. Okay. We're talking with Heather Kays. She is an education expert, a reporter, a policy expert on schooling. And we talk every Friday with Heather to see what things are going on. She's a big advocate of vouchers and charter schools and, you know, getting these kids really properly educated. So on to New York, where we also are talking a little bit about charter schools, but apparently, according to this article, Heather, in the New York Post, the Bronx and the Queens areas of New York getting the short end of the stick on charter schools. What's that all about?
Very much so. They have been woefully underserved when it comes to charter school expansion, according to a recent report by the New York Charter School Center. And one of the, I don't mean to chuckle at this because it's not funny, but it's so bad in these places that the number of applications submitted for charter schools, it's astronomical. 410 total seats, 13,000 applications.
Did you say 410 seats?
Yes.
That's all?
That's all.
That's ridiculous.
13,000 applications submitted.
That's ridiculous. I mean, I'd rather play the lottery in Florida. I think my chances would be better of hitting the jackpot. That's terrible. Now, it says here that the New York Charter School Center found that the Northeast and Central Bronx, along with Jamaica and Jackson Heights in Queens, have just 12 of the city's 191 charter schools. That does sound like there's something wrong. What do you attribute the problem to there?
There is a lot of blame to go around.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Is this because of the influence of mainly the influence of the unions or what?
Unions, yeah, maybe sure. Always there's some of that, but I would actually point the finger at de Blasio.
De Blasio himself. Yeah, he hates charter schools. He seems to hate them. I mean, is it just because of the union pressure, or is there something else that gets under his craw, do you think?
Maybe he just doesn't care that much about it. But I do get the sense that he is very much so a traditional public school supporter.
He's a traditional liberal, is what he is, isn't he?
He does everything in his power to gum up the works for charter schools, even successful ones. He doesn't want them to expand to the point that unused public school space isn't able to be given or rented to charter schools, even though they're also public schools.
Hey, when is this guy up for election again? I'm really going to watch the next time. I bet you the New Yorkers are sick of this guy. I mean, he's managed to offend the police, people that advocate for charter schools, people that are looking to have a little bit more, the neighborhood security, you know, it's just all kinds of things. Anyway, very interesting. And so do you think they're going to be able to, I mean, are they slowly but surely getting more charter schools in New York?
Yes. Slowly but surely,
yeah.
But it's been a really, really an uphill battle there. Mm-hmm. Rallies are held all the time. People petition. Parents are speaking up, and it's changing slowly,
yeah.
But too slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are going to be forced to attend schools that have been failing year after year after year after year, and they're not going to be able to repeat those grades.
This is the saddest story, I think, in our country, is that we know how to teach kids if we give charters and vouchers a chance, and we can have generations of educated kids, and yet we continue to do this. And those that suffer the most, of course, are in these minority neighborhoods. Now,
yeah.
On to Washington, D.C., where there's always something strange going on. And apparently, the charter school teachers in D.C. are thinking about unionizing. Tell us about that.
Yes, this is at one charter school, Cesar Chavez Public Charter School and Chavez Prep Middle School, and this would be the first charter school in D.C. to unionize. It would not be the first charter school to unionize, but it's still interesting. According to the American Federation of Teachers, there are currently 231 charter schools in 15 states that they represent. And what I find semi-amusing and interesting about this is when you listen to the union heads speak, places and people go off the rails and end up in a position where they criticize charter schools, and then someone has to whisper, hey, wait, there's some of those people here.
Yes.
You shouldn't say that.
And yeah,
it happens because there are charters that do want to unionize, and it is happening slowly. And there have been other places, Chicago comes to mind, various areas where charters have considered unionizing, but instead changes were made and it didn't end up happening as well. So
I wonder what the teachers, I wonder what the teachers themselves overall feel about unionizing in charter schools, you know? They are basically coming in sort of free of that. And, I mean, I would think this, that if they start to unionize teachers in charter schools, they'll become more and more like a public school and less like the kind of school we're hoping that they would become. How do you feel about that?
It's a really good question, and that certainly is a possibility. I have a lot of questions about what charters unionizing means in the grand scheme of things, in the way that the schooling works, just because for me, a lot of the policies that end up getting tacked on when schools unionize, things like last in, first out, create an educational system that becomes impossible to navigate. If you can't
exactly.
get bad teachers out of the classroom, then students are going to continue to fail. And
yeah.
it's not their fault. It's our fault.
Exactly.
It's the adult's fault.
Because if you get more regulations from unions, this means that they will start to actually regulate the things that the teachers are trying to do in charter schools for the kids. I guarantee it. And all of a sudden, you'll have these walls built up. And the teachers that want to do certain things certain ways will find that they are impeded by these rules and regulations. This is what always happens. And it may be for the best, you know, a most sincere of reasons that these unions do it, which I'm not always sure that that is the case. But it's that flexibility, you know, for these teachers to work with these kids in these charter schools That's one of the great things, I think, about the charter schools. But
But there's another point to look at here where, charter schools are starved of funding. They're always funded less than traditional public schools by a huge amount of money. And in charter schools and public schools, traditional public schools, you have teachers who are paying for supplies for their own classrooms because the money that exists doesn't end up where it needs to be. There's a really huge story, a project that I'm hoping I'm able to find a way to fund that I want to do on the way that basically kids are being poisoned through the water.
Oh my goodness!
At school, it's true, and it's not just Flint, Michigan. It's happening all over the country.
And you're talking about charter schools in particular, or just overall?
Well,
go ahead.
Overall, but the interesting thing about it is there were certain places, DC, if I'm not mistaken, who refused to provide funding to do lead testing for the water or to make any changes to public charter schools while they did provide the funding for traditional public schools.
I see. That would be a heck of a story. And my goodness, an important one. If they've got lead poisoning for the poor kids in these schools, that is, that is criminal. That's absolutely criminal. Well, Heather, thank you so much, dear. And we will look forward to next Friday with you. And keep us posted on your attempt to get that kind of a story published, will you?
I will.
All right. Thank you, dear.
You.
Okay. Heather Case. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, the Master Barber is going to come over and chat with us about whether or not Donald Trump's decision to leave the Paris Climate Treaty is good or bad for our environment.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I want to let you guys know about the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of Highway US 19 and just west of the Countryside Mall. You guys are going to get the best haircut you could possibly get, and you're going to get it from Andrew or Candy, and you're going to be so happy that you got it. They are open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Let's go bowling!
Let's go bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's go bowling show, gobowlingshow.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called The Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tantalk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tantalk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Friday morning. If it's Friday morning, it must mean that Andrew the Master Barber will be joining us. He is the proprietor of the best place to get a haircut for you guys in Tampa Bay. It's located in Clearwater in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of Highway US 19. Look for the yellow sign with the red letters, Columbia Plaza. Andrew and your barber pole. Now, first of all, Donald Trump was in the Rose Garden yesterday and told everybody that they are getting out of this Paris Climate Accord. And you say?
Vive la Trump! Vive la Trump!
I love it. You're doing it in French so that they
can
understand.
You got it, buddy. You got it. Let me tell you something.
Okay.
That was the best thing he has done. You know, not for nothing. We've been getting screwed by Europe for 60 years. Okay?
Ever since World War II.
Since World War II, okay, buddy. We've been getting screwed by them.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? This treaty was nothing but a redistribution of our wealth to other countries, period.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it was going to cost us 1 million jobs by 2030, 1 million jobs, add $3 trillion to our deficit. What is wrong with people? Are they crazy? These people don't care about us.
Well, you know
us.
The thing I always thought about when we were signing on to this? We're the one that always forks over the money. And where does the money really go, especially to these smaller countries? Do you think that they actually spend all that money on climate change? I don't think so.
No. What are they doing to change the climate? Well, they can't do nothing. The climate is the earth. It's been in the cycles for billions of years.
Now,
okay? I mean, what happened to the dinosaurs? Was it global warming or global freezing?
You mean they're no longer around? I saw a bunch of them. I was watching a science fiction movie. You mean those aren't real? Hey, by the way,
I thought you might have been standing in front of Walmart, see a bunch of dinosaurs. I don't know.
Now, the Paris Climate Agreement originally was a pact involving about 200 countries around the world to voluntarily reduce greenhouse gas. We have been doing that anyway, and I would submit that when you work with the what I call the private sector free market approach to the environment, you get it done even better because there is no area where people that are living around water or factories or anything else would allow, their water, their air, they would be the first to howl. And it's always the local governments that do a better job anyway in keeping their air and water clean. Don't you agree?
No question about it,
yeah.
Paul. You know,
yeah.
People aren't purposely trying to pollute the air, believe me.
No.
And you know what? Not for nothing. The earth does have its own filtering systems.
True.
They were built on it. That's what the aquifer is. The water goes through the soil, just like the filter of your pool. By the time it goes into the underground channels, this water is all purified and filtered. The trash is left in the dirt, and it goes back into soil.
You know,
I've been doing this for years. Come on, I'm a barber. I can figure this out.
a couple of his inner circle, though, were for the agreement, including his daughter. His daughter Ivanka, and apparently Jared Kushner. So he was getting pushback a little bit, even in the family. But he had kind of made a deal with his people. When I say his people, the people that voted for him.
That's right.
And
that was part of his agreement, and it was the right move.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, this Paris thing was just as good as the NAFTA treaty. None of this was good for our country.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, renegotiated to the benefit of America. Not what we're flipping the bill for nothing. All this was a globalist move to redistribute the wealth of the United States to knock us down to be a poorer country equal with everybody else.
I thought he explained it rather well in that Rose Garden. He actually did a good job, I thought, of explaining it, didn't you?
You got an A+, buddy, an A+. Viva la Trump.
Viva la Trump. Now, the Supreme Court is now going to consider that travel ban. The administration asked the Supreme Court late yesterday to let his ban, the Trump ban, take effect.
Was Ginsburg awake or what?
No, I think they wheeled her out to a retirement. But they bring her back for display purposes only. I think the Supreme Court is going to vote in favor of
how can
Trump.
They not?
Yeah.
Barack Obama had it.
Yeah.
What's his name? Jimmy Carter had it. George Bush had it. So tell me what's so wrong about Trump doing the same thing.
Yeah, and I think,
all because he said Muslims. It's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's clearly constitutional. I bet big money that they're going to overturn the appellate court's
decision. Well, this isn't one I'm going to bet with you, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I agree with you.
You agree with me on that one. Now,
fine. Hey, what do you think about Kathy Griffin? She's the victim now.
Oh, that's just been horrible for her. Look, she's going to lose. She's going to lose comedy. This is the lady that, okay, so she shows the severed head of Donald Trump, a bloodied severed head. Can't we get over that? I mean, my goodness.
Hey, you know what?
What?
This is Newton's law. For every action, there's a reaction.
That's
buddy.
True. That is true.
And you know what? She should have thought of the reaction, and she did. because we might have to move to Mexico after this video. So she knew what she was going to do. How stupid is she?
She wanted a free trip. You know what? A lot of people are saying that this whole thing by her, even to the point of knowing she would be dismissed from CNN's annual New Year's Eve and other things, was planned and calculated just to get more attention to her.
You know, she got her attention all right, and maybe, but it wasn't the one she wanted.
Well, maybe it was. Maybe in a way, in a strange way, she thinks that this will increase her, what's the word? Her name recognition, and therefore people will come to the clubs to watch her because she...
I know they're going to have to lower the price of her tickets a lot for people to go.
You think
like $2
so?
$2 huh? a piece, maybe, just to have something to do.
Now, I've got to ask you also, I felt so bad for Hillary Clinton. She has now been able to blame just about everybody, including Ronald McDonald, for her defeat. Did you have an opportunity to listen to her,
I listened to all 26 of them. All 26 excuses. The other one she left out was Smirnoff Vodka.
Yeah. And
because I think she's drinking very heavily. I think she's delusional. And I think she's going to end up in the nut house very shortly.
Well.
But I think this is all a plan, because if they prove she's insane, then she won't have to stand trial for the Seth Rich murder.
I lost you somewhere around the nut house idea, but... I do wonder about her, and I think even Democrats are beginning to wonder about her.
She blamed the DNC. They come right out and said she's crazy and losing it. All right? I mean, Let's face the fact. This woman's going cahoots.
It's funny. Every time she appears, I'm not kidding you, I think there's more support for Donald Trump. Every time she shows up on television, I think that Donald Trump should fund her on a countrywide public speaking tour, because I think by the time she's through, his favorability numbers would be in the 80s. Ed, what do you think?
I'm thinking, who has not appeared since the elections? Bill Clinton.
That's true.
I think there should be an APB out for him. Everybody's worried about Richard Simmons, being lost for a couple of years and couldn't find him.
Yes.
Bill Clinton could be in the basement chained or something by now.
You think she might have done that to him?
I believe so. I mean, he could be that lucky, but I haven't seen him make an appearance since the election.
That's right.
I'm surprised he wasn't the 27th fault for losing.
That could be a legitimate reason. Mm-hmm. That could be one of the legitimate reasons she lost.
Hey, what do you think about the special prosecutor? The Democrats thought, oh, this is going to be good. He's going to hang Trump. He's turning around hanging them.
Yep.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. You know, I'm not so sure about this guy. You're talking about Mueller. He might be very straight up. I hope he is. But you know that he's mentor to Comey. And that Mueller was Comey's protege. So they're very, very close. I'm a little worried about that. There's almost a family connection there. But we'll see. I mean, I'm hoping you're right.
Yeah, listen, everything is out too much out in the public now, Paul. It's not hidden. People want to know the answers.
Yeah.
That's why I'm telling you, Sunday night, you watch this two-part special on the Seth Rich murder on One American News. And I'm telling you, they've got the dots all connected. Yeah, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Her brother is a district attorney in the District of Columbia in Washington, D.C. The emergency doctor, when they brought Seth Rich into the hospital, said this man has got a 95% chance of living. 2 hours later, he's dead when they changed doctors. The doctor that they changed him to, when they left the emergency room doctor, is good friends with Wasserman Schultz's brother, who's a district attorney, who also donated money to the Clinton Foundation.
And whose last name was Kevorkian. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm telling you, this is all tying together. They're going to go down. This is going to be their Alamo, buddy.
Now, again, Seth Richards was an internal employee of the, was it the Democratic Party or Democratic National Committee or whatever? And he might have leaked. I mean, the deal is that he might have leaked information to Wikipedia. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. So he gets knocked off in effect by a couple of, or he gets knocked off. They find him dead on or unconscious on the street. No, nothing's taken from him, his watch, his money, or his credit cards. And so he gets to the hospital and he dies there. Is that what happened?
Right. Well, like I said, when he got to emergency room, the emergency doctor said 95% survival rate.
I see.
No problem. When they get him up to his room, the other doctor takes over, the guy's dead in 2 hours.
So you think the fix was in? Is that what you're saying?
The fix was in. There's no question about it.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, they've a private investigator came up to find out there were two weapons missing from the FBI, okay, at the time that he was murdered. So this is all going to get tied in. It's all going to come down to Comey. You watch and see, my friend. They're all
I
will take money on this one.
Really? Well, I know.
Yes, I will.
I know Sean Hannity on Fox News has been talking about how it's very, 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 very peculiar about Seth Richards.
Well, did you see where One American News put a $250,000 reward out for information about the Seth Richards murder?
No, I didn't.
And then somebody else just put up another $100,000. There's $350,000 out there for people to start talking. And
wow.
I'll tell you, see, they're throwing Debbie Wasserman Schultz to the road, you know. I don't know if you noticed or not.
No.
But they're throwing her to the road. Well, I got news for you. She got three children and a husband. You think she's going to go to jail for these people?
So you think she's in on this?
She's in on it, and she's going to start singing like a canary to spare herself.
Okay.
If she ends up alive, we'll see what happens. But
wow.
This is going down, and it's going to be bigger than you think. Viva la Trump is just doing what he said. These people are going to be all cleaned out from the swamp, and they're doing it to themselves because they're all starting to panic.
Yeah. Very interesting, as they used to say on Laugh-In. And I want to thank you very much, Andrew the Master Barber. As per usual, very interesting when we talk with you. And we're going to be talking with you again next week.
You got it, buddy. Just remember one thing. Viva la Trump.
Viva la Trump.
You got
Indeed,
it, buddy.
We will. Thank you, Andrew.
All right, Paul. Be good.
All right, my friend. There he goes. Best barber in Tampa Bay, Andrew the Master Barber. All right. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, it will be time for some campus quackery.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I want to let you guys know about the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of Highway US 19 and just west of the Countryside Mall. You guys are going to get the best haircut you could possibly get, and you're going to get it from Andrew or Candy, and you're going to be so happy that you got it. They are open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Friday morning, June the 2nd. Wow! We are rolling through 2017. Well, it is time. We didn't get around to it. We had so much going on our last show. So we're gonna bunch up. We got a bunch of stories. So it is time now for Campus Quackery. And we got a bunch of things. By the way, I love Wilbur the Duck. He and Donald, my two favorites. Anyway, we're going to start out at Evergreen State College in Washington State. They have called for a day without white people. Isn't this great? A day without white people on campus. And it's now been, I guess there's an updated story on this, that it has caused so much trouble that the day without white people ain't going to happen. But initially, a biology professor at Evergreen State said he no longer felt safe on campus. He was white. And even conservative students there are a little bit afraid. Racial tensions have been simmering in recent weeks, reached a boiling point when a faculty member disagreed with their plan to protest what they say is institutional racism at the Olympia, Washington campus. So a day without white people apparently not going to occur, although there was an attempt by minority students on campus to have that. On to California. The University of California announcing it will no longer pay for the meals of its governing board after a newspaper reported lavish dinners. I mean, like those Roman dinners, dancing girls and the whole bit. The San Francisco Chronicle said that UC California president Janet Napolitano and her office reimbursed regents for more than $225,000 in dinner parties since 2012. Tell me this. $250,000 on dinner parties since 2012. How in God's name does the Board of Regents spend that much money on dinner parties? But they did. Now it's going to come out of their own pockets. Originally, these dinner costs are being paid out of a private endowment designated for university business costs, not covered by state or tuition funds. Obviously, there is something wrong in Denmark and at the University of California. On to Yale. A new class of social justice warriors graduating from Yale. And to celebrate, the university has honored two students who led a Halloween witch hunt against it, the administrator Erica Christakis in 2015. Christakis had sent students an email defending free speech and asking, is there no room anymore for a child or a young person to be a little bit obnoxious on Halloween? Apparently, they were wearing some politically incorrect clothes on Halloween. In response, students vehemently protested, accusing Christakis of racism and cultural insensitivity. When her husband, a Yale professor, defended her, students shouted him down, screamed at him, and said he was disgusting and demanded that he and his wife resign. Both indeed ended up leaving their posts at Yale. So now Yale has awarded its Nakanishi Prize, I guess it's called. It's given for academic achievement and racial activism to two people. They're graduating seniors for standing up against and for political correctness with Halloween costumes. All right. And finally, I got to get this one in. I thought it was a little bit interesting. Not necessarily a campus quackery, but a North Carolina high school principal is apologizing after offensive statements in yearbooks were published. A senior at Panther Creek High School in Wake County, North Carolina, submitted a quote to the yearbook that read, "I don't know what's worse, candy corn or women's rights." It somehow got into the yearbook. Kind of funny. A little bit awkward. Yes, indeed. So the principal apologized to the community for the offensive statement. In the same week, a principal at Wake County's Millbrook High School issued an apology for another yearbook quote. It read, quote, "I like my women how I like my milk, white, rich, and 2% fat." So that one got in too. I find it a little bit funny, but of course, some people would take it the wrong way. And of course, the principals and the school do have the right to get rid of that kind of stuff in a yearbook. All right. We have a very good top 10. A very good top 10. These are the top 10 states that graduates ditch after college. And it talks about the fact that the states where kids graduate from college, not always the states where they get their first job. And so was a survey. It was they looked at 127,000 resumes of students that had graduated to determine the percentage of graduates who left the state after they graduated. So here we go. The top 10 states that graduates ditch after college. Number 10, Arizona, where 57% of the graduates from college leave. That's a pretty high number. Maybe it's just too hot out there. Number nine, Montana. They leave Montana, I suspect, because after they graduate from college in Montana, what are you going to do? Ride horses and corral sheep and stuff? I don't know. But 58% of the students in Montana leave the state after graduating. Number eight, Maine. Indeed, Maine. I don't know why. Maybe there just ain't that much going on after you visit Portland. But 59%, 59% of their graduates leave for another state. Number seven, the Show Me State. You know what the Show Me State, which is the Show Me State, Ed? Do you remember?
Missouri?
Yeah, you are right, sir. Missouri is the Show Me State. Apparently, as far as graduates are concerned, it's Show Me the Door. Because 63% of them leave the state after they get their diploma.
But show me the money elsewhere.
Show me the money elsewhere, exactly. Very good. Number six, New Hampshire. Indeed, New Hampshire. 64% of them leave New Hampshire. I guess, isn't that where all of that opioid problem? There's a lot of drug problems for some reason. I don't know why, but 64% leave New Hampshire. All right, number five. West Virginia. Now, I'm not surprised. And I guess the biggest school there is West Virginia University. 65% of them leave. Now, they're not going to take coal mining jobs because they got diplomas. So on to another state. Number four. Maybe similar in North Dakota. North Dakota, by the way, has very high employment. Very high. Because they got a lot of oil going on. But 65% of their graduates leave North Dakota and move on. Number three, Rhode Island, 69%. Now, Providence is there in Rhode Island, you know, that university. The only reason I can figure Rhode Island is third is because it's so small, there's just no room for more jobs for college grads. Number two, next door to Rhode Island is Vermont, right? And Vermont's number two. They've got, that's Bernie Sanders territory. They can't stand that socialist. 70% of them moving on to a place where they like business. Okay. So, here we go, Ed. I know you have no idea, but just for fun. What do you think is the number one state that grads ditch after college?
Since most of them have been up north and they want to get the heck out of the cold after they get out of school, I would say let's go for Maine.
Well, we are. You've been listening to Wilbur the Duck and not listening to me because Maine was number eight. But that's all right. That's a good guess. I'll tell you where it's close. It's actually closer to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
It's Delaware.
Oh.
Joe Biden's state, Delaware. And I wouldn't be surprised if they couldn't stand Biden and they left. Mm-hmm. But listen to this. 71% of the students in Delaware leave. Is it this? You know why, really?
Could be Biden.
There's nothing to do. What do you do in Delaware? What's the biggest city in Delaware? Nobody even knows what the biggest city is in Delaware.
You know that where I vacation, St. Croix and the Virgin Islands every year?
Yes.
Joe Biden lives there 3 months out of the year.
I bet he lives there more than that.
He's down there. When I'm down there, him and I are going to have a little talk.
There you go. Now, I would like to be a fly on the wall. I'd like to be with you. I'd like to hear what, you know, he may be running for president.
Oh, God.
No, seriously. Got a campaign committee thing going.
Oh, boy.
We'll talk about that someday. Anyway, thank you so very much. Have a wonderful weekend. Freedom Works. We'll be back on Monday. Bye.
TAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
Lower unemployment, climate pullout reaction. I'm Evan Haining. Fewer jobs were